Martin Zunder, back with you, broadcasting from Southwest 17th Street in downtown Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's great to have you with me. I'm confident at the moment of being alone in this house, which is really a nice house, and I'm thrilled to be able to broadcast the truth to you from wherever I am. There was a time when I considered doing this from my car. To me, there was something really elegant about that, and real and meaningful and transient, you know, kind of like the old heroes of faith. They had no home, they had no place, and yet I guess I'm not that noble to say that I don't enjoy some of the creature comforts, like this lamp that's in front of me that I put in front of this great painting to help with the lighting. And this tabletop is rather nice. Otherwise, I would have to use my dashboard, I think. So hopefully we're not disturbed by Holly. Cute little dog here. I'm not sure what make and model the dog is. I'm not too up on that kind of thing. It's really friendly. I prefer to leave. I have two doors open. One head into the hallway, one into the living room. I prefer to leave these open, but in fact, I like Holly coming in and visiting me, but last night, Holly would come in and start humping my leg, and I had to put an end to that, so I had to close my door. Holly is having some mental issues at this stage of her life. God bless Holly. Love her dearly. Now, what do you think of my idea of these religions? It's an hypothesis, and an hypothesis according to my science training back in grade school and high school is an educated guess. It's an educated guess. But I'm going to show you today how A.E. Nock agrees with me. Because the critical thing to remember is, and this is the key that almost all commentators miss, is that we are in the temple section of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Only when we realize that will we take that information and use it to help us color the passages, rightly color them, and understand what the main thrust is. Is it political or is it religious? Are we talking about kings or are we talking about priests? So, heretofore, we have considered political divisions of the earth. Now we are considering religious divisions of the earth. And along that line, what else would you expect when discussing seven heads and ten horns, except this is a religious division? These are religious divisions of the earth, and I have more evidence for you yet. Now, I went over what I'm about to tell you. I already went over this when I was talking about the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, that they were religions and not nations. Religions and not political powers or national blocks. I do not understand why those shows I did a couple of them in North Carolina. I was on my southern trek of 3 months ago, or whatever. I can't keep track of time. But I don't understand why those videos don't have 100,000 views each when I'm explaining that this great revelation, which helps us understand the times we're living in, and because these teachings were based on a sound translation, open up a vein of truth that is unavailable to those commentators using poor translations. And my only conclusion is this. The world doesn't care about truth. You're looking at these videos. That's what counts. The world is interested in drive-through revelation. They're interested in the latest high-profile, famous evangelists working from a poor translation, going down the same rutted path that everyone before them has gone down. You're not finding that here. That means it's weird. No, that means it's right. It's not right because it's unique or singular. It's not right because it's given to you by a nonconformist revolutionary. It's real, it's true, because it's based on a scientific translation of the Word of God. And for those of you new to this program, I am using the Concordant Literal New Testament as my base text. This is, along with the Devar translation, I find this the most accurate translation in the world. You can order yourself a copy at concordant.org, Or if you go there, you can get it online. It is available online. You can look at it on your computer. You don't have a lot of the features that the physical book has, some of the markings. But I think there's a PDF even with those markings on there. But I recommend buying the Bible. It's the best translation you can get. Now, Daniel, speaking of the beast again, in his seventh chapter, deals with that phase of Earth's religious organization which immediately precedes the emergence of the wild beast. The wild beast, as we sit here, is going to emerge. And Daniel tells you how that's going to happen in chapter 7. He has four beasts coming out of the sea. The final beast, a Western religion, Christianity, will devour the other three beasts. And it will become a one-world government and a one-world religion. Yes, even the world is going to unite religion and politics. And I mentioned this amazing fact that if you add up the heads and the horns of the wild beast, of the female beast in Daniel 7, you will have the same amount of heads and horns that you have on the wild beast of the unveiling chapter 13. Take the beasts. I'll just read that. This is how A.E. Knox says it. When the fourth monster devours the other three, it necessarily results in one nondescript having the subdivisions of all four. At the beginning of Daniel 7, we have four beasts coming out of the sea. The fourth devours the other three. Therefore, it takes the characteristics of the other three. The four wild beasts of Daniel had seven heads and 10 horns among them. So the one wild beast of the unveiling has the same seven heads and 10 horns. Only now it's called the wild beast. It's no longer four individual animals. Again, we're not looking for literal animals. These represent religions, and there will be a conglomerate religion, an amalgamation of power. Yes, you might call it a merger of ecclesiastical authority. And that's what I was talking to you about on Friday when I went underground, is ecclesiastical authority. Because these seven heads are in the temple section. The seven heads are animated. The seven heads of the wild beast are animated by the great red dragon. Therefore, I believe they are ecclesiastical powers. And I'm going to show you soon how A.E. Knock is seeing this also. There's some discrepancy here. I'll discuss that with you as I come to it. Now, this is a little bit of a review. The vision of Daniel differs from the great image. There's a great image under Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. That was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The vision of Daniel differs from Nebuchadnezzar's dream in some important particulars. Here are the particulars. The great image was political and consecutive. So it had to do with politics and the empires, because the four images of Daniel represented four consecutive world empires. The beasts, however, have this difference. They're religious and they're contemporary. So they're not political powers at all. They are religions. The first three are devoured by the fourth. And this is the wild beast seen by John in the unveiling. I got company again. I've got company again. So, if this is so, and it is, I'm going to wax bold. Then the present arrangement, the present, as I speak to you, of religious powers on the earth should correspond, this blows my mind, to the seventh chapter of Daniel. So here's Daniel again, back in Babylon. Centuries ago, the seventh chapter corresponds with an arrangement of religious powers on the earth. And I suggested to you on Friday that those religious powers were seven in number, and I enumerated them on Friday. If you want to review that, go back to Friday's show. That would be Friday, January 15th, show number 320, called The Seven Heads of the Wild Beast. Now, the moment we turn our thoughts from political to religious, that's the key. Remember, we made that transition in chapter 11, verse 19. We're turning from political to religious powers, and now we're open to see the correspondence between these visions and the religious divisions of mankind. And that's what I'm suggesting to you, that mankind is not only divided into four religious divisions, but the beast that eats the other three, Christianity, and it's going to do it, is itself divided into seven heads. All right, a little bit of a sidetrack here concerning the Roman Empire. Do not be sidetracked. You can be sidetracked by me, that's fine, but do not be sidetracked by commentators that are telling you that the Roman Empire is going to be revived, because it's not. Did you ever hear Daniel mention the phrase Roman Empire? He didn't, but okay, I know, fair enough. He didn't mention Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity either. He talked about four beasts. He mentions Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece. Okay, there you go. He does actually mention, when he interprets, that's true, thank you, when he interprets the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, he does mention specifically Babylonia, Media, Persia, and Greece. Never refers to Rome. And Rome was, should have been referred to if it was one of the world powers. There's only one problem, that even in its palmiest days, even in its heyday, the Roman Empire never occupied Babylon, and world empires simply must, I insist on it, love, they simply must be headquartered in Babylon. If they don't, then they don't count as a world sovereignty. This is a helpful thing God has given us, really. The fact that the first world empires were headed in Babylon, Babylonian, Medo-Persia, and Greece, God's not going to change the channel here at the end. So we're not going to confine this fourth beast of Daniel to the territory of ancient Rome, because that territory was not that great. There was a coalition of Italy, Spain, France, and England, and that's about it. No Scotland. No Ireland. No, they didn't conquer those. No, it was limited. Well, yeah, the Roman Empire might have thought it ruled the world, but it didn't. I know. They had that census, in Joseph and Mary's day of the entire world, but that was braggadocio. That was wishful thinking. I don't believe Quirinius, the dude who ordered the census. I believe God. He can be the biggest blowhard he wants to be and say, we're going to take a census of the entire inhabited world. Nice try, numbnuts. You're not going to do it because you were never the king of the entire inhabited world. You never were the king of the world. Never. Didn't happen. So, the kingdom of the end time, which is the sphere of the dragon's sway, is over the entire earth. The entire earth. This isn't local government. Not merely a small section of Europe and Asia, which comprised the vaunted Roman Empire. That wasn't a bad little empire. It just wasn't a world empire. And this kingdom will be divided into seven administrative heads. This is the way Nock puts it. Listen to this. Or, quote, spirit overlords. Ooh, I like that. That almost sounds like a video game. Spirit overlords. Now, I think here he's referring to the overlords of the spiritual realm, who will head up and back and energize and animate the seven heads. I contend to you that that is true. That just as four spirits animated the four religions, so seven spirits will animate the seven heads of Christianity. And how insidious, how terrible and evil that Satan is doing this imitation thing once again. because Christ has seven heads, seven stars. Seven is associated with Christ and God down the line. This is another diabolical imitation. Seven heads, how dare you, Satan? And yet he does. We are on the watch for it, and we're not going to let it take us by surprise.